Transportation is a journey connecting us in our everyday lives. This podcast series, TRB's Transportation Explorers, takes you on that journey with meaningful conversations with the experts behind the research. They often have an early eye on how we'll build the transportation of tomorrow.
Today's guest is Katie Turnbull.
We're here to make a difference. We're here to hopefully make things better through research. And so that's certainly a driving motivation. And we're here to help the next generation of transportation professionals through education and opportunities.
Hi, I'm Elaine Farrell.
And I'm Paul Mackey with the Transportation Research Board of the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine based in Washington, D.C.
Today's guest is Katie Turnbull, Executive Associate Director at the Texas A&M Transportation Institute and is a past TRB Executive Committee Chair. Dr. Turnbull is the recipient of numerous awards, including TRB's own Carey Award for Distinguished Service. Katie is here today to talk to us about transportation initiatives in Texas and throughout the United States.
Thank you for being with us, Katie. Since things have changed so much in 2020, to say the least, what do you think of as the top one or maybe two transportation priorities for Texas going into 2021?
Sure. Let me start by just giving a quick picture of Texas. I think as everyone knows, Texas is a big state, both geographically and population, second only to California. You may not know, but there are two time zones in the state. So El Paso to the far west is in mountain rather than central. Population about 3 million. So again, a growing state, a booming state in many respects. We have big city and big city transportation issues with Houston, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you know, San Antonio, Austin. But we also have a large rural population with a lot of agricultural farming, and recreation and tourism. And while we consider that leisure travel, oftentimes we forget that it's also a key part of the economy of the state and a key part of the economic prosperity for individuals living in those areas. We're a global gateway state, you know, the second only to California in terms of goods coming in and out of Mexico. We have five of the top 20 largest seaports in the country. Three of the top five, again, with Houston, the Port of Houston being key, and obviously DFW and Houston Intercontinental with American and United, as well as Love Field with Southwest are a key part of the transportation system. So when we look at what happened from March and where we might be going in the future, all of those transportation elements, I think, are key to moving forward and maybe moving forward in a slightly different way. So I think I'd like to highlight maybe two areas, and they may seem a little dispersed and different, but I'll bring them together at the end. You know, certainly like other areas, we've got questions about rebuilding public transportation, especially trust in public transportation and air travel. We've seen increases in, crashes continue to be an issue, even though people are traveling less, although that's come back, obviously, since the shelter in place was taken or rescinded. But let me highlight two different areas, and one relates to goods movement. Again, the movement of goods to and from Mexico through the ports of entry, but then also the global gateway. So we assisted TxDOT back in 2012 when the Panama Canal was being expanded. Like other parts of the country, what would the impact of the Panama Canal expansion be on Texas ports and the landside access, which obviously TxDOT and the local communities were interested in. And one of the things that group focused on was increases in exports, especially, which obviously drive the economy, as well as increases in imports. And what we've seen, we just are wrapping up that effort, is that yes, in fact, Texas has benefited greatly from the expansion of the Panama Canal. Texas leads in exports through the canal in terms of LPG, LNG, plastic resins, both agricultural products and some commercial goods and services. And just as much, Texas has benefited by increases in containers especially with consumer goods coming in through from Asia and the Pacific Rim through the Panama Canal. So what does that mean for the transportation system? Well, obviously, most of those imported goods are coming then moving throughout the state and really the region and the country by trucks. So we are seeing increases in truck traffic around the ports, changes in the distribution system. You know, we joke that if you had guacamole during the halftime of the Super Bowl, those avocados probably came from Mexico and were imported through and moved through Texas to get to their final destinations. So looking at that whole supply chain, you know, if we're seeing an increase in e-commerce of even 1 or 2%, which I think nationwide we have seen, especially this past year, that has a major impact both on where those goods are coming from. And again, if they're coming from Asia and the Pacific Rim, they're either going to Long Beach or the West Coast ports, coming to the Gulf Coast ports, or going to the East Coast ports. But that, again, has a major impact on truck traffic around ports, the local distribution center. And so some of our researchers have taken a look at how we can improve the truck traffic through technology, you know, better signal timing, better connected signal systems. We've implemented a couple years ago real-time traffic information at the ports of entry along the Texas-Mexico border. So you can go to a website right now and find out what the wait time is for trucks traveling from Mexico into the U.S. or from the U.S. into Mexico. You can get a better idea of wait times and delay times. And we've seen, like everyone else, an increase in the local e-commerce distribution with more trucks in neighborhood areas and all those types of things. So I think that's an area that continues to be important for us to look at. There's a lot of research going on here in Texas, automated trucks that are continuing to be developed and tested, including here in Texas. So let me flip to a slightly different topic.
Wait, before you go on, sure. Katie, give us a little bit of inside ball. How, when you talk about that kind of research of looking how the freight's moving through, what's sort of an example of how do you actually do that research? How do the students?
Especially when it's more difficult dealing with the private sector, which is, again, I think one of the things that we're learning through this whole effort is how do we reach out to the private sector, the trucking firms, obviously the shippers and carriers that are moving those goods, getting obviously information on a global scale from the Panama Canal Authority that tracks their ship movements and publishes weekly and monthly data on ships traveling through both ways through the canal. The ports obviously track their shipping, but then you've got to dig even deeper into where are goods moving. Certainly, you can get that from the different toll technologies that are available around ports or systems. Taking a look at commercially available data, ATRI, for example, and a lot of the commercial vehicles now are outfitted with GPS, and so you can get truck volumes. But it is more complicated, again, because of the private sector nature of those. So, and as they'll tell you, they'll go where the demand is. So it all gets back to, will we have increases in demand for e-commerce versus going to the local grocery store or the local big box store. It's a little bit more difficult and takes a little bit more time for that to occur.
So some of it is really convincing the private industry that you're creating a value or an add-on for them,
yes,
I imagine.
Yes, or that we're not detrimental to what they're trying to do if you need to, as part of the process, sign non-disclosure agreements, for example, over commercial data. It also, obviously, with imports and exports, means dealing with a whole host of public sector agencies, from the federal level to the Border Protection and Trade. So, again, it's a complicated process that again, means even more communication coordination among the public sector agencies, but also with the private sector is needed.
All right, I interrupted you. Why don't you go ahead with your second big issue that's really important to Texas nowadays?
So I think, again, like other parts of the country, taking a look and making sure that transportation services of all type are available to all segments of the population and are delivered and available in an equitable manner is continues to be important in Texas. And so, you know, two of the things that I'll mention, taking a look at making sure that buses and shuttles, as we're looking at automated facilities, are available to individuals with disabilities, for example. A lot of the initial tests of some of the autonomous or automated shuttles have been more difficult for individuals, especially individuals in wheelchairs. Not all of the early vehicles were necessarily wheelchair equipped or equipped to handle wheelchairs. So taking a look at that issue has been one of a focus here, as well as ensuring that the bicycle, pedestrian, and transit safety is a critical issue. So one of the things with a TxDOT, Texas Department of Transportation project we looked at was, you know, where are crashes or incidents involving, in this case, buses, bicycles, and pedestrians occurring? A lot of those happen at intersections. And while there aren't a lot of fatalities, there are fatalities. And so as part of that project, we developed and tested an initial intersection that has a fisheye camera, identifies if a pedestrian or bicyclist is waiting at the corner, equips the buses, are equipped with DSRC radios, and communicate with the traffic signal. It knows if the bus is going to be making a right-hand or a left-hand turn because of the schedule. And if it detects a pedestrian or bicyclist waiting and the system, the smart system, knows that the bus is turning, and a supplemental pedestrian signal, that's a bus goes off, a lighted bus goes off above the pedestrian signal, and a verbal warning comes on saying caution bus turning in both English and Spanish. And so again, we tested it at an intersection on what's now the Rellis campus here, and then we've moved it to an intersection on campus and are actually have it in operation now at an intersection and are evaluating it. So again, a focus on taking that technology, improving safety for all users of the system. We're also taking a look at, again, those shuttle buses and new shuttles, working with the City of Arlington, which has a Federal Transit Administration grant, FTA grant, to continue to test some automated shuttles. They've been doing it for a couple years. They had one of the early pilots or demonstration with the Milo system. Again, introducing that to individuals in wheelchairs or individuals with limited sight or blindness to make sure that they understand how to use it and can use it. And then seeing if there are additional suggestions or guidelines that should be implemented as people are interested in pursuing those technologies and systems, and especially new developments. So, you know, those two come together as we look at new developments. Again, there are a lot of areas in Texas as well as throughout the country that are looking at new communities. And part of that is looking at how do you develop and build in automated or autonomous vehicles into that infrastructure? And how do you look at e-commerce? And so maybe those mobility hubs that we've been talking about become not only mobility hubs, but e-commerce hubs, so that the goods delivery that come into that community focus on those areas, and you might not have those delivery vehicles traveling throughout the community streets, or there are different kinds. Maybe they're the robot vehicles that make the shorter deliveries from that hub. So again, I think ways that we can take this experience that everybody's had this last 10 months and moving into next year, pause a little bit and take that experience and think about how we might do things a little differently in the future.
You've already talked quite extensively about what work you're doing at TTI around e-commerce and around equity and transportation. Is there anything else that you and your students are doing in those particular fields at TTI?
I think those continue to be two of the interest areas for students, you know, as well as researchers, and maybe just as importantly, that the agencies and private sector that would ultimately implement those types of things. So again, ensuring that as we move back into a whatever the new normal is, we are taking those user groups and that technology into consideration. Another example is Houston Metro, the transit agency in Houston, is doing a little experiment with their metro mobility. Again, their specialized transportation, and maybe rather than using those for trips for people to get out to buy groceries, again, given the curbside delivery that a lot of the grocery stores here, they use it, they could use a trip to pick up their groceries by that rather than them having to travel themselves. So evaluating those types of situations and seeing how we might use, you know, technology as well as public policy, converging those into different types of services for people is an area that I think a lot of people continue to have an interest in.
You used the term critical issues earlier in your comments. And of course, you have been one of the major contributors to one of the major Transportation Research Board initiatives or reports or, you know, everything that we sort of base our work off of. And this critical issues in transportation series that we have. There are about 60 plus critical issues that were identified as of the last report, which was in 2019. And there will be a couple of additions coming out really soon, one on equity issues in transportation and one on how the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic has affected transportation. How do you see the work you did and have done and are doing on critical issues and your work as a whole really contributing to how the transportation community addresses these issues?
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the benefits of TRB, I think, is its ability to be nimble and to respond to the needs of its sponsors, whether it's federal agencies or state departments of transportation or the private sector, to, you know, quickly respond with research, with sharing of information. I think the annual meeting that's going on is a key example of that. You know, that can bringing people together to discuss current issues, current research, and current needs is a key role that TRB plays. I think, again, the ability to, one, update the initial critical issues in 2019 was a great effort. But then I think, again, just as importantly, the ability to respond even quicker and develop additional critical issues focused on the equity concerns as well as the experience with COVID-19 has been, again, very, very beneficial for all groups. And then again, TRB is in a great position because it can respond then with its cooperative research programs, the NCHRP, the TCRP, the ACRP, and help spur research and fund research that addresses those issues and gets the information and results out very quickly. So I think those documents are very beneficial for all groups. I think they serve a useful purpose. And again, as importantly, that they help provide a pathway to the future that all groups can use to learn from the experience we've had and hopefully do things a little differently, a little better in the future. And again, I think everybody make a difference and make the whole system better for all users, for goods and services. And I think, again, as we start maybe moving out of the pandemic a little bit, also seeing how things recover and providing some guidance and suggestions along the way as different areas are trying different things.
So backing up, why this is sort of a question of maybe from your childhood or something else. Why is transportation so important to you, and how did you first get interested in it as a career?
So probably like most people, I was not aware all that much of transportation options in especially undergraduate or as a kid, other than, you know, being able to travel and do different things. In graduate school, I took some transportation classes. I was in urban planning. And when I started my career, actually at one of the, I think 40 some now, bi-state metropolitan planning organizations, MPOs, in the Duluth Superior area, which is much different than being in College Station, Texas. I actually started more in the land use area. But like everyone, especially at a smaller MPO, you have the opportunity to work on a lot of different projects. So I did have the opportunity to work, especially on transit projects and on some actually port related, obviously the Port of Duluth and grain shipments and other taconite shipments are important. And then probably like other people, the person that was doing the transit work left, and I had the opportunity to move into that slot and have really focused on transit and related technology types of things for careers since then. And you know, probably like others, I think one of the things about transit, especially, but transportation in general, is that you can make a difference. You know, the research you do doesn't just sit on the shelf. It helps create new services that people use. It helps create opportunities that, again, maybe people with special needs hadn't had the opportunity. From there, I moved to the Regional Transit Board in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and then joined TTI after that. So I think I've got a good, that gave me a good perspective on both public agency and how you actually get things done in the public agency. And then obviously with TTI, how do you conduct research that benefits those agencies and the public agencies and groups. I can look back at services that are still in operation now that I had an opportunity to work on and help get going, which makes you feel good. And I think like a lot of researchers, you know, TTI people, we're here to make a difference. We're here to hopefully make things better through research. And so that's certainly a driving motivation. And we're here to help the next generation of transportation professionals through education and opportunities. And, you know, again, I think that's a key role that TRB also plays. Students going to TRB annual meetings just get a great exposure to opportunities, to people. They make connections. And we all do that throughout the rest of our careers. And so again, I think that's a key role that TRB plays in terms of maintaining that ongoing ability to learn from each other, share from each other, and make longtime colleagues that you continue to interact with throughout your careers.
Well, I think this is our last question, and it's a bit broad, but what additional research would you like to see on the topics that you mentioned, e-commerce and equity in transportation, within the coming year?
So I think I think there's a lot of good ideas in the critical issues. Maybe a couple that I'll highlight again, as I said earlier, taking this as an opportunity to maybe pause a little bit and actually implement, try some things. We can research and look at opportunities. We can then test some things out as, for example, as new developments are moving forward, how would you implement and actually operate those types of services? I think campus environments are a great setting to do that. We've done a lot here on the Texas A&M campus, as have other universities throughout the country, with testing some of the autonomous shuttles, getting experience there, and then using that to roll it out in a more fully automated system or into larger areas, working with the local communities and developers. So I think the opportunity to take some things, again, in a fairly rapid response from whether you do some focus groups or surveys or some initial testing and development, and then actually implement some things and try them, see what works and see what doesn't work, I think is a great opportunity right now. And then sharing those results throughout the country. And you know, what works here in Texas may be slightly different than an area that's got lots of snow and ice, but the basic concepts can be the same. And we can certainly learn and share a lot with each other.
Well, it really sounds like College Station and Texas A&M are so lucky to have you with all the innovations you get to try out down there and the research and innovations. And TRB has certainly been very lucky to have you. You've been such a valuable member of the TRB community and the TRB Executive Committee. And we just want to thank you for that. And thank you for your time today, Katie Turnbull.
My pleasure. Thank you all very much. Again, TRB is just an outstanding organization and provides so much opportunity for all of us.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
TRB's Transportation Explorers is a production of the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine. Ben Brown composed our theme music. The podcast is produced by Paul Mackey and me, Elaine Farrell, and edited by me. Thanks again for tuning into TRB's Transportation Explorers. We hope you enjoyed our podcast. See you next time on the transportation journey.